You're listening to the Pool Proof Wisdom Podcast, where we bring our authentic selves, refuse to raise grown folks, and share wisdom you can use. With your host, Charles K. Poole.
Well, hello there. It's good to be back with you. It's been quite a while. I can't make any excuse except to say that life interrupts all of the plans that you can have. This podcast is a labor of love, as I've said many, many times, and I want to do it right, and I want to do it when I have something to really say, not just to fill time. And today is one of those days. There are a few things going on that I need to get off my spirit, and I'm going to use this opportunity to do that, because what better way to expunge things that are causing you to question whether people have lost their minds than to share it with the world and know that there are other people out there who feel in a similar way, that it's all gotten too crazy right now, right? We're all at that point where we're looking at so many things and it seems like everyone has literally gone mad. You know, I've been thinking today about my hometown of St. Louis, Missouri, because today at a school there was another school shooting, a teacher, and I don't know if the other person was a student or not. I believe it may have been, but there were two people killed, and it's another in that long line of activities where people are doing things that make absolutely no sense. I don't know what the nature of the shooter's behavior was or what caused it. I don't know why anyone goes to a school which is supposed to be a safe haven where young people of a variety of ages can go to learn and plan to live their lives going beyond that grade into hopefully a productive adulthood where they get to live long, purposeful, and productive lives. But now you can't go to school. This is not new. We know this. It hits close to home because that is my hometown, and I know the school. Southwest was the name originally. I don't know what the name of the school is now, but I believe that whatever it is, I think it's now called Central Visual and Performing Arts High School, which means that it is school to creative minds, people who express themselves creatively, and in the midst of expressing themselves during the course of this day, someone took it upon themselves to come into the school, and I have confirmed it was a teacher and a teenage girl who were shot and killed, and seven other people were wounded. It's horrific. I remember going to school. I went to Vashon High School in St. Louis, Missouri, and I never, ever, even once, and we were in the hood, y'all, as we like to say, but I never even once had a concern about going into that school and being shot, of any type of harm coming to me for that matter. That type of comfort, that level of expectation never left me during the time that I spent there. I cannot imagine going to a school in this time in our history and always being on alert because someone decides to take out their rage, their sense of hopelessness, their issues, whatever they may be, on others by taking the lives of others and harming them in a physical or other kind of way that will scar them for the rest of their lives now. It's fascinating to me. And I haven't had an opportunity to dive into the reactions. Of course, at the outset of this type of thing, there is always shock and there's always anger and there's frustration fully expressed, particularly by the political class. And it then seems that after an appropriate time for the expression of such outrage has occurred, everyone goes back to business as usual, and another incident doesn't happen until another shooting occurs someplace else and more life is taken. What are we doing, people? I mean, honestly, think about this in the context of how we have gotten to the point where children being killed is considered normalized today. When you get to the point where you can get comfortable with the fact that your kids can't go to school and be safe and that people kill children, something is seriously awry with the society that we have built. And I don't understand how we can get our minds around that kind of crap. It makes no sense to me. It makes no conceivable sense. And as angry as I get about it, it seems that this country is bent on having this idea that the right to having a weapon is more important than the right of a kid to go to school and not have to worry about whether he or she is going to walk out of that school at the end of the day, whether their parents are going to have to wonder if their child is going to come home that evening. You know, it's interesting that all of this debate comes down to, well, guns don't kill people, people kill people. And that is absolutely right. And what we've learned over the course of our entire history is that some people can't be trusted. Some people should not have the right to carry a weapon. And the only way to do that is to ensure that you put protections in place to make sure that it is very, very difficult for people to get a gun, particularly anything that is of the assault variety. I don't understand why anyone who is not in some type of major war needs an assault rifle. I don't. Help me understand it. You won't be able to. I'm telling you that right now. But yet, people are willing to fight for that when there are the, you know, instances of children. So many now. So many I've lost count, so many locations I've lost count. And the fact is, we keep normalizing that guns are essential to feel safe and protected in this nation so that individuals can fight to protect themselves. So that begs the question, who in the hell is protecting our kids? And their solution is, we'll put more guns in schools, okay? That seems easy enough to do. But there are armed guards in many of these institutions, many of these schools, and it's not helping. Many of them get shot themselves. Don't even go ahead and get me going on the story in Texas where they decided not to even go in and protect the kids. That's another story. But if you think that you are going to go gun for gun and provide a solution that's lasting, there's a mistaken notion there that all of us should be able to see right through. It ain't going to work, good people. And we should know better than that. And I'm telling you, it was the last chasm of human decency. Because, as I said, when you can start getting comfortable with the fact that children are being killed, I don't know what's left for us. Because if you can't stand up and believe in the right of children to grow into adulthood more than the right to carry a weapon or hold a weapon or anyone being able to get access to it, I can't think of anything to say to you. I just really can't. So it's beyond thoughts and prayers for me. I'd like to see some action. I think all of us would want to and should want to see some action that's going to ensure that kids can go to school without having to worry about this being a constant threat over their heads every damned day they go to class. For teachers, to know that they don't have to worry about whether or not they're going to have to protect themselves and the children under their care while they're teaching throughout the course of the day. This should not be acceptable. And yet, we somehow are normalizing it. It's the sign of the times, right? And the more that we get comfortable with there being no limits on anything, constitutionally or otherwise, the moral fiber of the common human experience is just being torn to shreds moment by moment, day by day. I am exhausted thinking about what it must be like to have to be the one who realizes that your child isn't coming home, that your spouse, if you are the spouse of a teacher isn't coming home simply because they were doing their jobs. And that's just the schools. This is also the theaters, the supermarkets, pretty much anywhere people go. I tell you, I'm a big fan of movies, but whenever I go to the theater, I'm always identifying what a potential exit is just in case someone decides to come in and shoot up the freaking place. Supermarkets, I'm constantly situationally aware because I can't go into any place now and just assume that everything's going to be okay. Because who knows what's going to lead to someone choosing a place and taking an action that may result in someone losing their life. These types of considerations shouldn't be the way that we have to live, but it is. And there are people, and I'm not going to bless them out. I'm not going to speak horrible words about them, but I am going to say I don't understand what in the world they're thinking about. Because if you can watch this type of carnage, this type of constant behavior, which happens so often now that it's commonplace, and still think that the most important thing you have to fight for is the right to have a gun, the right to prevent people from having to go through essential checks that are far, far easier to do than it is to avoid doing them. When we have a nation where people can get all kinds of training and licensure that requires more effort than it takes to get a gun, then yeah, I don't know what's going on in your head. So to my hometown and those who are mourning right now, I send my love. I can't do the prayers thing because what's happened has happened. And I know that God was not in that. That's human behavior. God takes what we humans do and makes it better. But God didn't have anything to do with what went down there today. And that's how it is in all these cases where another human being, under any circumstance, decides to take someone else's life because of whatever isn't working in theirs or whatever it is that they feel is their appropriate axe to grind. These are the things we need to think about. This is the world we're becoming, where life matters less than perceived law. And that has got to stop for all of us. Because if it doesn't, what do we have left to look forward to? It's a rhetorical question because we know the answer. But what I can tell you is that from this day forward, lives have been changed dramatically now in St. Louis and in so many other places. And they're still going to be changed for years to come. Every year that would have existed where those people who have been lost would have contributed, would have made their difference. The students at this Visual and Performing Arts High School in St. Louis would have been dancers, actors, artists of all kinds, and contributed to the development and ongoing realization of beauty in the world. That will be no more. And those who loved them and cared for them and taught them are going to live with that for the rest of their lives. So those folks are forever changed. And I think anyone who has a human spirit, anyone who has a heart and cares about the human condition will do the same. There is not one person who has that capacity who is wondering about whether or not it makes sense for anyone to be able to walk around with guns and kill people for no reason other than the ones that they somehow have made important themselves. So my love to you all in St. Louis, anyone who's mourning, particularly those who have lost someone. But let us all take this moment and be very clear about what this means for who we are becoming, not just in this nation, this is around the world. The value that we place on human life is lessening by the day. And if we don't do something about it, if we don't find the way to convince the greater number of us that the only way to go forward is to go forward in a unified way that eliminates the chokehold that those who lobby for guns over lives are not in a position to dictate the future of our children, our loved ones, our friends, our teachers, all the people that you can list whose lives have been forever eliminated, and otherwise, for those who remain behind, impacted by gun violence. So I just wanted to say that today, because it speaks to a larger theme that I'm going to go into something next that also relates to how we react and behave to the behavior of others. You know how you have those moments when you promise yourself that you're not going to do something, but it eats away at you until you know that if you don't say something about it, you're going to implode. Well, that's how I've been about the Kanye West situation. I've kept quiet because I didn't want to extend to my platform, which is minor by comparison, I know, and certainly to all of those who are covering what he is doing and what he is saying. I didn't want to give airtime to all of that because it's negative and it's distasteful and painful. But since so many other people are talking about it and it's not going away, I literally work hard to cleanse my timeline every day on all my social media and anything else that I come across, because that's everything that's leading the news. You know, when that kid, and I call him a kid because he is substantially younger than I am, but when he came to prominence and I understood his story and what he did to achieve what he achieved, and then, of course, what he created in terms of a catalog and the music and the thematics of many of the works that he created, I loved the kid. I was such a huge fan. And, you know, I've never been a person you would necessarily call an aficionado of rap. I know certain things that I like, but for some people who know it, you know, backwards and forwards, I'm not that person. But that catalog early on, pretty much he could do no wrong in my eyes. I loved everything that he created. And it was because the lyrics, when you sit down and you listen to what was said, had meaning and insight and understanding. And I loved it. And then attaching it, as he did musically, to so many other things and drawing from other genres, it was just my thing. I loved the kid. So as he went on throughout his career and started becoming who he became, I could overlook certain things. I mean, some things were just, you know, bravado, ego, you name it. It wasn't anything horrific. But then over the years, it became worse and worse and worse. And yes, I am of the camp who believes that something broke within Kanye West when his mother passed away, and I can understand that. I will take nothing from someone who loses someone so beloved, and it literally changes them. So that's acceptable. I can do that. But as I've listened and watched over the years and the progression of whatever is going on with him, because I don't propose to know, became worse and worse in terms of what he did under the guise of artistic freedom, of being a great thinker, I just tuned him out. I got to the point where literally I did everything I could, as I explained earlier, to ensure that I could avoid hearing him, seeing him, or paying attention to him in any way, because I was guaranteed that no matter what it was always going to be something that was outside the realm of being kind and gracious and thoughtful and considerate of others. So he became fabulously rich as a result of all of these things that he did. Bravo, great for him. But I still wanted nothing to do with the output of his efforts, because they were never about what he seemed to be about when he began his career, the work ethic, the supporting people by making statements that were about togetherness. And yes, even then, to an extent, breaking down the barriers that somehow kept people apart, those were no longer the things he talked about. And it got, as I said, progressively worse. These recent activities, which have now led to people walking away from him, it makes sense to me. It makes a lot of sense to me. Now, I don't know if they're doing it simply because of the pressure. Yes, I do. Yes, they are. But the fact is, sometimes the only way that you can make a difference to someone is by taking away from them the things that they value, that they figure give them the right to do the things that they do. You find this a lot with people who are a bit of an egotistical maniac, if I can put it quite bluntly. And you find this among people who just have a level of narcissism that is out of control. Now, let me be very clear. Everybody's got a little bit of narcissism. But when you get to the point where you think that everything you do is within the realm of normalcy or should be for everybody else, there is something not right with the way you're thinking. And I think that he reached that point some years ago and has gotten progressively worse. Now, there's also the element of what so many say about mental health. And I do understand that he has identified himself, or at least someone has told him that he's bipolar. So I do appreciate and respect that. I'm a huge advocate for taking care of your mental health. I support it. I find it absolutely necessary. And I don't actually think enough people do pay attention to it because they think that that's weak. But it isn't. The strongest people I know are the ones who appreciate the need of taking care of their mental health and then find the means and the methods to do so. But there is a point when you're looking at these types of behaviors that you have to stop justifying it, even if there is a good cause. Whether it's the person who goes into a school and shoots and kills people and injures others with bullet wounds, or a world famous, exceptionally rich musical artist slash designer slash whatever else he calls himself, who decides that he's going to try to label artistic freedom and free thinking as activities that do harm to others, that spur others to go on and spout hate and say horrible things. These types of things, you realize, are just not good for anybody. They're not good. They're not thoughtful. They're not artistic. They're not creative. And they sure in hell aren't doing anything to help an already fractured nation, an already fractured world, find healing and common ground. And in these instances, that's where you've got to stop looking at what the potential causes are. Because like I said, Kanye's got mental health problems. You've got to be gentle with him. Yes, but he needs to be in treatment and he needs to put himself there. Someone who kills somebody as the shooter I described today. You know, they had a bad childhood and they never got over it. Okay, then put yourself in treatment. Find some treatment. Get some help. But all of this willingness to overlook the outcome of what they do because of what they have lived with and lived through, there's not a real good rationale for doing that on a macro level for any of us. Because here's what I know for sure. I know all kinds of people, you know all kinds of people, who have been through hell, who have been through hardships. Some of them certainly much more difficult than anyone who has gone and shot up a school. Certainly most of us more difficult than Kanye West. And yet we have not resorted to those behaviors, and we've got our own mental challenges as well, and we found the ways to heal and overcome them. And if you don't have the help, then you need to ask for it, as I said. because I don't take mental health as something that's not a serious issue that needs to be addressed. But still, I hold on in this day with these two converging events reminding me of how important it is to speak up so that we are all better off as humans in this human world that we are living in, supposedly together, when we realize that sometimes people, you've got to stop wondering what's wrong with someone and just focus on the fact that what they're doing is wrong. And when you realize that, you've got to have the courage and conviction of human thought, human capacity, human understanding to call them out, to hold them accountable, and to make sure that under no circumstances will it be made clear to anyone that there is anything about what's happening that's considered normal about what they're doing, acceptable about the behavior, and allowable on our watch. That's the difference. Because if we don't start changing the way we react to all the tragedies we see, all the hatred that we're allowing to grow and fester in the world, and it's always been there, but Lord knows it's as if someone lifted the lid and let all of the fungus out. The primordial soup has been there bubbling up for years, and some things never came out of it for a good reason, but it looks like they found the light of day and have emerged anew. And if we aren't willing to do something to stop that, to change that, for standing up with conviction in a unified way against it, all of this crap about politics and people and isms of this and isms of that, let it go. Because the world is changing before our eyes and not in a way that's going to be servicing any of us in any positive way. We should never have to wonder if we're going to get to the point where we have to figure out, is it going to be me next? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be your child or someone else that you care for? Because we've so left the door open to the possibility that the acceptance of horrible behaviors executed by horrible human beings, whether they need help or not, should not be allowed to continue. So, this is a bit of a different type of podcast episode, because usually I want to do things here that are all about uplifting people. And this may be perceived as a little bit negative, a little bit dark, and perhaps it is. But the thing is, and I think it was Gloria Steinem who said this, the truth will set you free, but first, it's going to piss you off. And this podcast, people, is an instance of me taking that moment and realizing I'm pissed off that the world is allowing this to happen and that the good people in this world are not raising voices the way that good people should and fighting against it. Because we're better than that. You're better than that. We all must be better than that. Otherwise, forces in the world that will turn this into a living hell will be able to grab hold of what we are doing here and how we're doing it. And I don't know that there's a way back from that, because they've tried for years. We know through history, we've seen it more than we care to imagine or even acknowledge. But this time there's something different about it, because we've become disassociated from anything that doesn't immediately touch us. But when I tell you that we're all here in the human existence, living a human experience, we have in common that we should be working together for the common human good. So give some consideration to that. Love on the people in your life. Stop letting individuals who have what they perceive as the right or the power or the money or whatever the indicator is dictate your human experience. Don't let them get away with convincing us that we don't have a reason to care because this is what they do. This is what they say. This is how they act and behave. Instead, I encourage you from this point forward to fight for the common human decency that we all can share.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Pool Proof Wisdom Podcast. We always enjoy the company. Be sure to listen, like, subscribe, and share using Google and Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, YouTube, or via RSS so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this episode, we'd appreciate it very much if you simply tell a friend about the podcast too. Spread the word. Until next time, keep on living.